It's 6 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and swell fella, broadcasting coast to coast and around the globe tonight for Mike, who is ailing a bit. He will be taking tomorrow night off as well, and then we'll be rejoining you on Monday. Until then, you got me, and I'm glad to be here. 877-520-1150 is our number if you want to get in. We got some open lines here tonight, and also some open chat lines over in the chat room at bradblog.com. We were talking about... And I'm going to talk, well, I'll get to that in a moment, but let me close the last hour out. We were talking about the Republicans and their kabuki theater and their pretend interest in repealing health care. Why? I don't know. I mean, they make billions for their buddies in the private insurance company. So what's that all about? Who knows? They just want to make Obama look silly if they can. And, you know, it's really not that hard to make Obama look silly. But they're going to great efforts to do so. So we were talking about the constitutionality of the health care insurance reform bill. And some guy by the name of Harvey F. over in the chat room apparently was didn't have enough courage to call in and ask the question. But he actually makes a good point. In the chat room, he says, well, how about if Senator Reid sent the Republican bill to the CBO to be scored? Oh, yeah, because the CBO found that repealing health care will, in fact, increase the deficit by $230 billion, to which Speaker Boehner said, well, that's their opinion. And then he cried. I don't know what that was about, but... So he said, so Harvey F. says, well, how about if Senator Reid sent the Republican bill to the CBO to be scored, which is, I think, what happened. That's how we have this $230 billion increase to the deficit that will be found if the repeal, I love this, they actually call the bill the Kill the Job-Killing Health Reform Package Bill. It actually has job killing in the title of the bill. Way to go, Frank Luntz. Let's see. How about, Harvey F. says Senator Reid sends it to be scored. Then it came back, refused to bring it to the floor because it would bust the budget. Well, here's the problem. Our friend Harvey F. may be mixing up the two chambers of the House because the Republican bill is actually in the House, not the Senate, so it's not up to Senator Reid whether it comes forward. It's only in the House, and the Republicans now control the House, and that's why they will bring it forward, no matter what the CBO says, no matter how much of a hole it will blow in the deficit. Okay, hope we answered that. All right, a couple of points I want to get to. Folks who know my work at Brad Blog and elsewhere know that I spend a lot of time on concerns of elections, election fraud, and, of course, rebutting the fake Republican, quote-unquote, voter fraud scams that are out there. Well, it's back again, and for two reasons, this is important to talk about. One, because of this guy in Arkansas. Are you listening, Arkansas? I know we got listeners in Arkansas. Are you listening, Arkansas and Ohio, as long as you're in Ohio? Listen, listen up, Ohio. Listen, who has come back to the U.S. Congress. Guy by the name of Tim Griffin. Who is Tim Griffin? Well, to tell this story, we've got to rewind the clock a little bit. We'll rewind it quite a bit. There was a debate earlier this week amongst the GOP chairmen, potential GOP chairmen and chairwomen, and they were asked about, of course, voter fraud. How will they combat this scourge of massive Democratic voter fraud? Democrats stealing elections from coast to coast. Of course, they're not stealing elections, and there's almost no evidence whatsoever of any voter fraud out there, as we discovered when George W. Bush put unprecedented resources into ferreting out those wascally Democratic vote fraudsters. And, of course, he was able to get something like 18 convictions for it across the entire nation. Unprecedented millions put into it in all the years that he was in office. So, no, it's not really a problem. On the other hand, one guy walking up to an electronic e-voting tabulator with a few keystrokes in there can change the results of just about any election, countywide, statewide, even across the nation, if you pick the right state in Ohio. And that's what they were trying to do back in Ohio in 2004 when this fellow by the name of Tim Griffin, a protege of Karl Rove's, sent out some email to some of his fellow RNC folks, but he misaddressed it. And instead of sending it to georgewbush.org, I think it was, or .net, he sent it to georgewbush.com. Completely different group. Oops. What did that email say? Well, it had an attachment, had some Excel spreadsheets, and what were those Excel spreadsheets? They were lists of voters under the subject line caging, sent from Karl Rove protege Tim Griffin of the RNC at the time. And, of course, these lists were voters who lived in, you guessed it, minority areas. Troops who were deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan at the time. And what this list was the caging lists. These were the lists that they had planned, the Republicans had planned to send direct mail to with a do not forward direction on it, basically trying to prove that they didn't really live there. And when they didn't respond to these letters, or when they bounced back, they would then use this as proof that these people, who happen to be minorities or shipped off across overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan, so yeah, they didn't get their mail because they weren't there to get it, but it's proof that they don't live there and they're preparing to commit voter fraud. And they can then be challenged at the polls. And that was the plan. And, of course, this was something that the Republicans back in 1982 or 92, now I can't remember, down in Louisiana, had signed a consent decree to not do, to not cage voters, that caging voters is illegal. Targeting zip codes and minorities because they happen to be minorities, they happen to vote Democratic. Minorities, elderly, students. You can't do it. But they were doing it back in 2004, and Tim Griffin was heading up the affair, and he got busted by our good friend Greg Palast, who happened to get his hands on those emails when they were missent. Well, Tim Griffin then went on to be appointed as U.S. attorney in Arkansas because his good friend Karl Rove wanted to help him pad his resume. And as part of this whole U.S. attorney purge that happened after the 2004 election, when they fired these perfectly good but too moderate, I guess, Republican U.S. attorneys around the country, including David Iglesias down there in New Mexico, because he wouldn't bring voter fraud charges, despite the fact that there was no evidence of voter fraud. So they had to be let go. Bud Cummins up in Arkansas was another one of them that had to be let go, and in his place was put Tim Griffin, Karl Rove's buddy, to help him pad his resume. Well, once this all began to come out, because of some good digging, not by the mainstream media, but by Talking Points Memo and so forth, and they found out that unprecedented, that they had DOJ had actually fired these guys, not for cause, but just because they weren't being aggressive enough on voter fraud, or they wanted to get in their buddies. So they put in Tim Griffin up there, and after that came out, Tim Griffin Oh, he had to resign. Resigned in shame, said he would never be back in politics again. The AP quoted him as crying at his speech. We may have a clip of that when we come back, because I got to get to a break here now. He said he was never going to be in politics again. Well, never trust a Karl Rove Republican, because Tim Griffin, the vote cager, from 2004, who was never held accountable. Tim Griffin, the USA, who was appointed by Karl Rove to the job just so he could pad his resume, who had to resign in shame and disgrace. Yes, that Tim Griffin ran for office in this past November down in Arkansas's 2nd District for the U.S. Congress, and despite his criminal past and his long rap sheet, he was elected to the U.S. House. And make that even worse, he was put in a leadership role. He's now the deputy whip, and he will this year be sitting on the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee, overseeing our legal system in these United States. You see, that's what happens when you don't bother with accountability. And that's what the Democrats did. They said, oh, he's gone. We can let him go. We don't have to worry anything about it. Well, you know, the inspector general at the DOJ looked into this and find out that this guy, Tim Griffin, he didn't tell the truth. He lied about it. The whole thing was lies. And yet, no charges were ever brought for anything. And when that happens, these guys could turn around, run for office again, and now they're sitting on the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. That's where you will find Tim Griffin. That's the oversight that I expect you to carry out, oh, citizens of these United States. Keep your eye on the Judiciary Committee and Tim Griffin, because you got a vote cager and a vote fraudster dude sitting there. Keep your eye on him. I guess they had to replace Tom Feeney with someone. Your calls ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let a memory torture me.
Feels like Friday night with that tune.
Whiskey River, don't run dry.
What will we play tomorrow? Will there be any music left? Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. You can participate in the show. It's 23 minutes after the hour. You can participate by giving us a shout at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. And we take all callers. You know, is it? Well, we'll call it an open line. Is that what it needs? Open line. You call it open line, then people feel that it's okay to call it. No, I'm never particularly picky, because I like to hear from folks. Who even from folks who disagree with me. Love people who disagree with me. I'm going to have to play more on that voter fraud, that Tim Griffin stuff tomorrow. I'll wait till tomorrow, because there was a story that I... You look disappointed. Okay. I know, you're ready. If I change my mind, I'm going straight to you, Tony. You will play that sound clip of Tim Griffin crying and pleading his innocence. But no, well, maybe tomorrow. Because I also didn't get to talk about the Republicans and the GOP debate, where they were trying to out voter fraud each other, basically saying that, no, I'm going to be tougher on voter fraud. No, I'm going to institute photo ID restrictions at the polling place. I'm going to keep more people from voting than you. I didn't get to that. But maybe I will tomorrow or something like that. Because I did want to hit this, because this is really funny. Talking about these funny Republicans. House Republicans are eager. This is from Think Progress today. House Republicans are eager to make good on their campaign promise to hold a pointless vote on repealing President Obama's health care law. But they'll have to wait a little longer. Thanks to an embarrassing blunder by Representative Pete Sessions, Republican of Texas. Sessions failed to take his oath of office on the House floor alongside the other 450 Congress members, congressmen yesterday. I guess that would have been Wednesday, yeah. Taking it in the Capitol Visitors Center instead. However, Sessions was the not-quite member who offered the health care repeal motion today in the House Rules Committee, to which he has ironically been assigned, forcing Committee Chairman David Dreyer to abruptly adjourn the hearing on this bill. Dreyer is consulting with a parliamentarian about how to best craft a unanimous consent agreement to rectify the situation, since the guy who filed the bill wasn't officially a member. Committee spokeswoman Joe Maney said, "We should have an agreement shortly." Democratic aides pounced on the Republicans' blunder. Despite the fact that they read the Constitution today, they should have read it yesterday, actually, one senior Democratic aide said. I guess swearing in their members wasn't part of their pledge. Oops. In response, Representative Anthony Weiner joked that Sessions, quote, didn't look as congressional as usual this morning. Sessions, of course, was finally sworn in this afternoon by Speaker John Boehner. But freshman Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, also missed the official swearing-in yesterday, taking part in the faux swearing-in with Sessions. So Fitzpatrick read a portion of the Constitution today and took votes on the House floor today, despite not officially even being a member of Congress. In response to the fiasco, House officials were searching for a precedent to follow but had not yet found a previous instance of members-elect voting without having taken the constitutionally required oath of office. Think Progress placed calls which were not immediately returned to Congressman Fitzpatrick and Sessions, and will update if they give any response. Jackasses. Unbelievable. All right, I promise, your call's next. 877-520-1150. Come on in. Brad in for Mike.
Is Mr. Brown? Mr. Brown is a clown who rides through town in a devils are at it again. Who knows what they'll do? And it's true right now, like it was back then. The old devils are at it again.
That's for sure. Yesterday, lawmakers in more than five states announced they are launching an effort against birthright citizenship by seeking to apply the 14th Amendment, quote, only to children with at least one parent who is a permanent resident or citizen. Explaining the impetus behind the move, one South Carolina lawmaker called U.S.-born children, oh, this is lovely, called U.S.-born children of undocumented immigrants, quote, poison and a, quote, malady that needs to be cured. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in the last hour, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy, 877-520-1150. What's on your mind? Love to hear from you. Mark in San Clams Disco, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's up?
Well, Brad, it's the 30-year war on the middle class, and it's going to heat up.
Yeah?
You know, they're going to come after the unions now. And it's just going to get worse.
Yep.
And you know, Barack Obama, you better get it. There's been a war on the middle class for 30 years. Our mm-hmm. roads are going to shambles. Our schools are going to shambles. People are losing their jobs. They want to take all our safety nets away. There's a real war going on, and there's a lot of casualties, and every day it's more and more. And all these wars that we're fighting mm-hmm. and wasting our money and our lives, it's ridiculous.
I hear you.
It's just a shame, Brad. Let's come to this.
Yeah, I know. No, I hear you, brother. And It's insane. It's really, really insane. And you look at Obama today announced William Daley from the Clinton administration, a guy who has been encouraging Obama to go more to the center. How much more to the center can you go? You know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Obama should go to the center, because at that point he would be moving left. I mean, he's so far to the right on so much of this. And so it doesn't look like it's getting any better. I was kind of hoping, you know, he'd come out and name someone like Howard Dean as his chief of staff, or Russ Feingold, who he needs a job now. Wouldn't it be cool to have him as the chief of staff in the White House?
It'd be great. You know, Brad, we have a party, the Republican Party, which is basically just run by corporate America.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's just they own that party, and we're not getting any representation from them for the people of this country. It's a fiasco. That's going on there.
I hear you, Mark. And unfortunately, a lot of those same corporations also own a lot of these Democrats. And that's unfortunately what so much of this is about. Until we get campaign finance reform, until we get corporate money the hell out of our election system, this is going to continue, I'm afraid.
You know, Brad, it's up to guys like you and me and the progressives in this country to band together and push a movement that's going to force these politicians our way, because I have no confidence in the Democratic Party to do anything to help the fiasco we're in now. I really don't.
Well,
it's going to be up to guys like you and me to do it.
I concur. We got to hold them accountable. Keep up the good fight, Mark. I appreciate the call.
Brother.
All right.
You too.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Richard in, where is he? Richard in Wisconsin. A lot of calls from Wisconsin tonight. From DeForest, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Richard.
Yes, this is Richard calling. I wanted to make a point about computers and robots taking people's jobs.
Yeah.
You know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the point that I wanted to make is, are the corporations and the people who run them thinking ahead? Because in my estimation, I don't see a lot of robots or a lot of computers that take people's jobs away actually buying automobiles or other big ticket items.
Yeah, I know.
And so they need to rethink all of that. Logic.
Well, they have
to go back to hiring people again.
Yeah, well, you know, whether it's robots, the problem is it's not even robots. Cheaper than robots is, slave labor in China and, Guam and all over the world rather than here. And you're right. This means then that Americans don't have jobs. They can't buy stuff. But if only we could sell stuff around the world, oh, yeah, we can. NAFTA, CAFTA, all of those trade agreements. Now we can move whatever little we do make. We can sell it elsewhere. The corporations can sell it elsewhere. And people end up in this country going straight to hell. And you're right. They ain't looking ahead. I don't know what they're thinking, because at some point this doesn't work anymore, and it collapses, and it sure as hell feels like we're getting close to that point. Thanks for your call, Richard. I appreciate it. All right. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Do I have? Yeah, I got time. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. All right. Let me get to Joe in... What number? Well, see, the numbers are gone there. There we go. Joe in Sparta, Tennessee. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's on your mind? And Happy New Year, by the way.
Well, it is sort of a Happy New Year, since there's truly a battle in Congress now, finally, instead of a one-way street.
Yeah? How has it been a one-way street up till now?
Well, look. You progressives had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, whether you want to admit to it or not. But now you don't.
Wait, are you saying that there was? Now I don't. Are you saying that there was Democrats? I'm sorry, that there was progressives in the White House, in the House, in the Senate?
Well, yes.
What's a progressive piece of legislation that Barack Obama has passed, Joe?
Well, the total. Annihilation of the private health care industry with this bill that was passed.
The total annihilation of the private health care industry? How did that happen? It seems like they're going to make billions and billions, the private healthcare industry, from this bill. Their stocks went soaring through the roof when this bill passed. Have you really drunk that much Kool-Aid that you think that bill is either progressive or any kind of government takeover of healthcare, private healthcare? Do you really believe that, Joe?
Well, yes, I do. It's 2,700 pages, and nobody really knows what's exactly in it, although bits and pieces keep seeming
read it.
To come out.
Read it. What do you mean nobody knows what's in it? It's been out there for a year and a half, Joe.
When's the last time you've read a 2,700 page? Look, this thing's five times the length of War and Peace.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I know. And tell me how it is, what part of the private health care system has been taken over by the government? Just tell me that much, since you think this is outrageous.
I'll say this. Medicare and Medicaid has skewed the pricing structure to where a lot of doctors are refusing to accept that. So you do have
Joe, answer the question. What part of the private health insurance industry has been taken over by the government because of this bill? Tell me. You made this claim. You were told this was the truth when you watched Fox News or heard it on Rush Limbaugh. So tell me, how has the private health care industry been taken over by the government?
It's in the process of being taken over by the government.
How so?
Look, you're going to ration care because there's going to be less competition. With less competition...
How is there less competition, Joe?
You have less doctors. Look.
How is that? No, answer the question, Joe.
Say, hey, you can't have
Joe.
This treatment. How?
Okay.
You can't have that.
You know that doesn't happen in this bill. You know that, Joe, right?
Yes, it does. There's a limit on the amount that will be spent on people.
There isn't. There is no public option in this bill. There is no limit in this. In fact, what they've done is they've said that the private insurers cannot cut you off because you ran up the limit of how much they would pay you. They are helping you, Joe, and you are being conned by a bunch of snake oil salesmen who are getting you to vote against your own interests. Wake up, Joe. Jesus. I mean, people... You got a legitimate beef? Let's hear it. But Joe hasn't got a clue. He has been told over and over again that this is a government takeover of healthcare, and God, I wish that it was, but it's not. This is a gift, a kiss, a suck-up to the private health insurance industry who is making billions on this. Joe, come on. Are you nuts? You want to beat up on Obama, I'm with you. There's plenty to beat up on him about, but don't make stuff up. I know you're not making it up. You're just saying what you were told to say. Max from Minnesota, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Max?
Well, first, please don't judge me because I'm from the same state that Michelle Bachmann is unfortunately from.
You're also the same state that Al Franken is from.
Very true, very right. true, whom I voted for.
Right.
Well, I just kind of wanted to talk about the whole Republican ideology about how the wealthy create jobs, and that was mainly the entire campaign trail for the Republicans in this last election for the House and the Senate,
right.
about how jobs. But I don't know how they can make do on those promises when they keep sending those jobs overseas
yep.
because they don't have to pay any sort of health care or anything to the employees over there.
Yep. No, that's right. They can't. And no, rich people, wealthy people do not create jobs. You have to have demand for there to be a job. They don't just go out because they're nice guys and start hiring people. There has to be demand. And if nobody can buy stuff, well... You got the score, Max. We need to get you down to Sparta, Tennessee, so you can talk some sense into Joe.
I bet you I could do it.
Well, all we can do is keep trying. Thanks for the call, Max. I do appreciate it. All right. Let me get to who do I got? Ron down in. There we go. Ron down in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind, Ron?
Good evening, Brad. Do you think that the Chicago mob is in control of the White House, considering that Obama is from Illinois and Chicago? that Rahm Emanuel was a mover and shaker there, and he's going back to be the mayor. And the Bill Daley from the infamous Daley crime family is now chief of staff.
I have no evidence that the Chicago Mafia is involved with Barack Obama or anybody else. And if they are, I don't know about it. And all I report on is things that I have evidence for.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it seem like it, though? It could make people think that, don't you think?
The greatest mafia in the world is the corporate bosses who own these guys from top to bottom. They got a hell of a lot more money, and they threaten these guys a lot more than the mafia does. Thanks for the call, Ron.
I agree.
I got to run to a break here. Appreciate it. 877-520-1150. I will try to get to everyone's calls if I can. 877-520-1150. See, I was in a good mood tonight. It just got darker as the night went on. I promised you it was going to be, because last time, you know, last few times I've been into this show, they've been dark. We've been talking about torture and war and peace and all of this. And now I was in a good mood today. Thanks, Joe, for ruining it. Brad in for Mike Malloy. One more segment straight ahead. Stay with us. You mean we made it all the way through this and you screwed up that sound cue, Tony? Dang, put it back! It was me. It was my fault. a lot of these phone lines are lighting up with Idiot Joe. All right, we'll get to those in a second. My thanks tonight. Keep it playing. My thanks tonight to, of course, Tony Sorrentino, who didn't screw up that sound cue. I did. My thanks also to LA's K-Talk AM 1150 for hosting me here, and particularly at short notice. Our producer, call screener, and chat room hostess babe tonight, Desi Doyen. Thank you, Des. And, of course, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for getting me the hell out of my house for a change. Hope you're feeling better soon, Mike. He'll be resting up again tomorrow. So I'll be with you again. Don't worry. Be happy. And he'll be back on Monday. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Let's go to Sam in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, I tell you, there's almost a formula with these guys. The first sentence they say, like Joe, is snark.
Yeah.
And they know nothing. War and Peace, did he read War and Peace? If he did, he wouldn't be a Republican, probably.
Well, and if he did, that's what Michael Steele said the other day during the debate, was his favorite book, War and Peace. And then he quoted it by saying, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Charles Dickens, I'm
yes,
sorry.
It's the wrong book.
Which is one of my favorites.
So,
what is that one?
Which one? Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities.
And exactly. You know what? Tony here, during the break, he made a good point. Do you want to say it on air? Or do you want me to say it? Because you never come on. You want to say it? You like a long. You have no problem with a law that is 2,700 pages, right?
Exactly.
What did you say about it?
I want it long and complex because that means it's covering enough things and all the contingencies. And
yes.
No, I don't want a thing that's only three a page long and that's it. No, that does no good.
It's no good. It should cover what it's supposed to cover. So the length of a bill has nothing to do with whether it's good or not. And by the way, I don't know that if the guy wanted to make an argument that it's not good, he could have. But clearly he knows nothing about the bill other than what's been repeated to him.
The straw through the skull and the sucking of the brains, you know.
Thanks, Sam. I gotta get to, I want to try to get as many folks as I can. I appreciate
Absolutely.
Your call. Have
Thank
a good night,
you.
Sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me get to, Mike in Chicago, since we've been, some people, not me, have been beating up on Chicago. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, Brad. Yeah, this is also the show. I lost the job about a year and a half ago. I was I didn't have insurance for a year. I got a new job. I had to wait 90 days before I could get that. And my only choice was getting it from Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina. I live in Illinois. I work in Indiana. My insurance is and my company is out of South Carolina. And then about a couple weeks after I signed up for the insurance, which, by the way, has a $4,000 deductible.
Yeah.
I don't make enough money to afford
to cover the deductible. No, I hear you.
I drop on the insurance anyway.
I hear you, Mike.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield was nice enough to send me a nice 8.5 by 11 inch booklet, 65 pages of all their rules and stuff like that on what they cover, what they don't cover, all the other rules. So if you got Blue Cross and Blue Shield of South Carolina and the other 50 states, and you got all these other insurance companies in all these other 50 states, no wonder the bill had to be 2,700 pages long. Just like the previous caller said, it had to cover everything.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Mike. And no, that actually wasn't the previous caller. That was our engineer, Tony, who made a good point, as he always does. But normally he doesn't let you listen. He won't come on. In the chat room, someone said, and I'm sorry I missed who it was, said that if no one could possibly read the 2,700-page bill for health care, how do they know what's in it? Where do they get their info? How do they know how bad it is if they haven't read it? Good Lord. All right. Yeah, I know. I don't have enough time. Nora, can you? Let's go. But Nora, I last time you called, I didn't give you nearly enough time, and I'm doing it again tonight. Can you call back tomorrow and I'll give you proper time for a change, Nora?
Should I just make my briefest announcement?
Do it.
That I'm calling about, and that is on September 25th, these people, the affected, that the FBI have now re-subpoenaed here in Minneapolis and Chicago, and the next grand jury is on Monday, January 25th, here in Minneapolis. It's going to be at the Federal Building, 4:30 to 5:30.
Where can people go for more info? Give me a website, quick.
FBI.net, and it's in a whole bunch of cities, and everyone, please, it could be any single one of us. It could be you or Mike and Kathy or me, and they're standing up to the FBI and saying no, and they're not going to their grand juries, and it's going to be protests everywhere across the nation.
Way to go, Nora. StopFBI.net. You got it all in. I do appreciate that and the good work you're doing. We'll see you tomorrow night. Brad Friedman in from Malloy.